This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
Welcome to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
Featuring Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
Only on Project Nerd. It's episode 179 of the Nerdcast. We are back from a very adventurous holiday break, and we have so much to talk about, including Golden Globes recap, what the guilds are nominating, some awesome doorbell-looking experiences, what Aquaman's doing at the box office, and so much more. Adam, Bob, Tyler, joining me, Iggy. How are you gentlemen doing this fine, fine week in January?
I'm curious, how are you going to go with "and we're back" and not follow that up with "from outer space"? Like that's what I want to know.
Were we in outer space?
Never mind, Iggy. Hi, we're good. I'm good. I don't know about these other two yahoos.
Let's move on.
I have to agree with Tyler on that one.
The quicker and faster we get away from your intro, the better for everyone.
All right. Well, while we're sitting here around the intro, I'll just remind you that Project Nerd does now have a Patreon. Check us out over on patreon.com/Project Nerd. You don't put the dash in the Project Nerd when you go do that one. So we make it very difficult for you. Or you can just head over to project-nerd.com and check out the banner at the top of the site. If you want access to the Nerdcast early, or if you want to experience some of our other awesome podcasts, such as now streaming Sexy Nerd Science, the upcoming Meeple Skills, which debuts next week, the return of Modern Sex with Baroness Von T the week after, and of course, I'm Not Famous, which, well, there's no famous people on that. But anyways, we have a lot of podcasts. You can get them early over on Patreon. Help us out. We demand your obedience. I mean, we appreciate any support you can give us, whatever works. But before we get into all the glorious, glorious things, and we got a lot to talk about with the Golden Globes. We're a lot to talk about.
Man.
The Golden Globes?
Look, it's been, 2 to 3 weeks since we've recorded? I got to get my voice.
You forgot
back.
How to talk.
Has it been 2 to 3 weeks since you spoke to another human?
Yes, it has. I have been sitting at home watching a lot of movies. But anyways, I was just going to ask how your holidays went, gentlemen.
Really good. I'd put, I don't know, 2,000 miles on the car probably. Went down, saw some family, got a bunch of cool gifts for Christmas, gave a bunch of cool gifts for Christmas, gave my 13-year-old nephews Dark Souls 3. And then listen to them complain about having to beat the first boss before they can upgrade or find any better equipment or anything like that. It was fantastic.
That's how Bob's holiday was, I guess.
I mean, I worked for most of it. So went home for a couple of days, but mostly I worked. So it was fine.
I had 2 weeks off. I mean, I could have come out and visited you, Iggy. So you could have learned to talk.
Could have kept my speech going. Both you and Adam, with all your time off, could have came and visited and made sure I was able to speak the English still.
Dude, I went to Florida. It was 80 degrees. It was amazing.
Man, I got me a couple games, and Adam would be very happy to know that I got Assassin's Creed.
Dude, how good is that game, Bob? Let me guess, you haven't even played it yet.
I have played it.
Okay, good.
I haven't played it well, but I have played it. I just kind of run around and just kind of keep going. I'm just exploring. But yeah, it's a cool game. Very cool.
I told you.
You were right.
I've been smashing the past couple weeks. Yeah. Some Super Smash Brothers up in here. Which, speaking of, by the time you check out this podcast, there's a cool Super Smash Brothers art gallery from the art director of God of War, the new God of War game, making some really nice art. Nintendo, you better hit that up. But anyways, no? You don't want that realistic art over on Nintendo's side, Adam?
I mean, you've played a lot of Nintendo video games, when was the last time they were like, you know what we're going to really do? We're going to embrace realism here.
Do some strong graphics. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, the big thing that happened this past weekend was the Golden Globes. And what an odd Golden Globes it was. It started with a red carpet that was overtaken by Fiji Water, specifically what she's become known as is Fiji Water Girl, giving the company the equivalent of, it's estimated the equivalent of $12 million worth of ad impressions.
That was amazing.
By how viral that went. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I love her. I already love her. I'd never met her, but she's my soulmate. She's photobombing everything. She was all that. I saw her in every photo except the Idris Elba one. And then somebody told me she was back there. I just didn't notice it because he was in it. So I don't know. But anyways, yeah, she was on the red carpet, photobombing left and right. Fiji Water totally embraced it. Twitter went nuts, as it always does for something like that, and was fun for sure. Then we went into the award ceremony. Some shockers, especially in the TV comedy side, with both The Good Place and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel not winning, which those seem to be everybody's TV shows. Like, those are the only two TV comedies that get talked about nonstop by both critics and viewers. But instead you get, was it the Kominsky
method?
Yeah,
Kominsky which is actually pretty good.
It is, but it's been out, what, like 2 weeks on Netflix? Not even a month, has it?
Came out ages ago.
It was up for some Emmys this year.
Oh, okay. Well, they just started marketing it to me on Netflix.
Yeah, because I've never even heard of it until...
I watched it ages ago, so it came out before Thanksgiving, I know that. Because I think I watched it over Thanksgiving break.
Okay.
It 100%, I mean, it is really good, and the performances in it are really good. It 100% won because it stars Alan Arkin and Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes
to. I mean, Alan Arkin, I'll take it, but...
I got to hate on Michael Douglas.
I wasn't hating on Michael Douglas. I'm just saying.
The way you phrased that was a straight dig.
I was going to say, that was
not. Anyways, I was trying to express that Alan Arkin in a comedy is a good idea. But anyways, moving on. Big things in the movie categories, of course, was seeing Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse win Best Animated Feature.
Oh, yay.
I think that's the one thing that might actually that it happened at the Golden Globes that might actually happen at the Oscars, because nothing else the same is going to win.
There's one other.
Karan is the director?
No, Best Song.
Oh, Best Song A Star is Born. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, and actually, now you mentioned that, going with the Spider-Verse thing, because that's something I wanted to bring up, is Disney didn't have one of those, I don't want to say iconic Disney movies, but we got two Disney movies that are kind of in the same league as Spider-Verse. You know, we got Incredibles 2 and Wreck-It Ralph 2. We didn't get the Coco or the Frozen or the Moana or anything like that. So you're not getting that iconic Disney music, and you're not getting that game changer, as we argued about, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
But that iconic music is kind of shifted to Mary Poppins Returns in the Disney realm, if you're looking at like Best Song or Best Music.
But I don't know if it's going to be, like you're saying, iconic enough to
get
a Star Is Born.
It's not. I can't remember one song from that movie.
From which movie? Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
I'm guessing he remembers the song from A Star Is Born, considering he just talked about it.
He's pretty excited for it. Real quick, though, wrapping it up so we can talk about it all. Roma gets Best Foreign Language Film. Didn't even get nominated for drama. Green Book wins comedy, which, if you've seen Green Book, it's a drama with a few funny moments, so not even sure why it was in the comedy field. And then on the other side, you get, for drama, you got Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie that, as soon as it came out, critics just quit talking about it. They disliked it so much. Anybody who I know who saw it, the most positive I heard about it from any friend or acquaintance was, it was all right. So, interesting win here.
Did we not talk about it on here?
We did a little bit.
I feel like I liked it more than meh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I not rate it as a Brendan?
I didn't really like it that much, but.
We didn't see you last year, Adam, so I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I liked Rami Malek, but there was a lot of changes in some of the actual facts of the movie that kind of ruined it for me. But from
such everyone, a popular defense.
I know, I anal, what can I say? But anyways, but I know a lot of people loved that movie. I mean, they
I know a lot of people who really like the movie. I don't know I don't know many people who walked out of it and said that like this was the best movie I saw all year.
I heard
in that category, I would have given, just with what they nominated, I would have given Black Klansman, but I probably would have switched Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody, since one of them's literally about a band. I don't know how it doesn't end up in the musical category.
Yeah.
I would have switched them
up to the studios that put it forward, isn't it?
Don't they? Yeah. Yeah. Usually it is. But I honestly think they did, the studios did that intentionally, because films that are nominated in the musical comedy category aren't really taken seriously by like the Oscar voters. And so I think they moved those over to the drama category. So if they did win it, they may be taken more seriously as a possible contender for an Oscar Best Picture.
Yeah, I don't know. I would not be surprised, though. I'll say this right now. I will not be surprised if Rami Malek wins the Oscar for Best Actor. I think it's really a two-horse race between him and Christian Bale right now. But
yeah,
did you guys see Vice?
Yeah, the movie
Bale kills it in that.
Bale, I mean, he does amazing. The movie was super disappointing, but he does really well in it.
The movie was all right, better than Bohemian Rhapsody. But anyways, it was it was very impressive, for sure. And not only him, I felt like the casting across the board for the most part was actually really impressive.
For which film was that? I'm sorry.
Vice.
Oh yeah.
Steve Carell.
Yeah, Steve Carell is Donald Rumsfeld as Rumsfeld, and I still can't get over. I mean, I know we got to see it in the preview, but
Sam Rockwell.
But Sam Rockwell as W is so amazing.
I mean, I feel like Sam Rockwell already did a W impression when he did Zaphod Beeblebrox,
right?
Up to 11. But yeah, I think also, like, I think after, I mean, Carell was really good, but after Bale, I think my Amy Adams might have been the most impressive one. She was really good. The movie just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
It didn't really have anything to say. It just wanted to be angry at those people.
Right.
It did a good job at that, but I agree with you. It could have been better.
Yeah, the movie, definitely. I feel like it's funny because a lot of the ones that are getting the big award recognition right now are the ones where we're saying it especially, but a lot of people are saying it. This isn't the best picture of the year, or it could have been better, or something like that. And there's a number of movies out there, especially that I'm catching up with, that just aren't getting as much love. And part of it goes back to what we've talked about times and times again, is these guilds and these academies and stuff like that, they don't like Netflix and Amazon making these movies and putting them out there. And you talk about movies like Beautiful Boy, Roma getting, you know, pigeonholed to just best foreign language film here, and a lot of questions about it with the Oscars. These movies were really, really good. And I get, like, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, was a very different type of movie, so I didn't figure we'd see a lot of it come award season. But there's still a lot that Netflix and Amazon did this year in terms of movies that was very, very good.
But, you know, Iggy, one thing about Roma in the best in the foreign language category for the Golden Globes, it wasn't eligible for Best Picture. They are like very specific that if it's a foreign language film, it does not qualify for Best Picture drama or Best Picture comedy. It stays in its lane, basically. Now, once we get to the Oscars, then yeah, it will.
The more you know.
Yes.
That was the NBC rainbow across
the little star, shooting star.
The more you know. Well, there you go. Thank you for that fun fact. But Sunday night, I think all four of us kind of chimed in there after it, because we were shocked both by the Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book. Again, I don't think necessarily like saying they're terrible movies, but it was kind of a shocker. Because again, I think Tyler worded it the best, better than I did at least, of nobody was walking out of there saying these were the best movies of the year. Mm-hmm. But I think all four of us were on the same page that this is most likely not going to be reflected come March here when the Oscars happen.
Yeah, well, and as the years have gone on, I think the last few years especially, but over the last decade, like the Golden, as part of it has always been that the Golden Globe splits everything into two categories for a lot of the rewards between musical comedy versus drama. But the Golden Globes have
never been a really great bellwether for the Oscars, and even less so the last few years. Like, the Hollywood Foreign Press makes decisions that are way outside of what, you know, the Academy is going to make, or even what the guilds are going to make. Part of it is it's a very disparate group of people who vote on it, but I don't think there's a lot of people who watch the Golden Globes. And again, once upon a time it was different, but no one really watches the Golden Globes anymore to be like, that's who's going to win the Oscar. Now, that's not to say that they don't overlap a lot, but it's not, they're not as tight. They haven't been as tightly, like, they haven't been as tightly wound as they have been years and years past. So
yeah, Hollywood Foreign Press is only about 100 people, and mostly are European critics. And so, you know, they're going to usually vote more obscure, almost European films or actors and actresses for their awards. You know, the Glenn Close movie, The Wife, is a film that was, you know, it's a European film, European director. So, you know, things like that.
Yeah. And the overlap you see is, of course, like we're talking about the guilds. So fun news there is, too. We also got a lot of those nominees this week, so we'll talk about them here in just a second. But Directors Guild, Writers Guild, and, of course, Screen Actors Guild. Directors Guild kind of got us started. I think it's Karan. I mean, if he does a movie, he's going to be on the list. He's going to be up for Best Director. So Directors Guild put out their five nominees. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, Spike Lee for Black Klansman, Adam McKay for Vice, Peter Farrelly for Green Book. They also, of course, have first-time director ones, but Cooper's also nominated for that, considering he's nominated for Best Overall. I think we know at least who the favorite is right now for that. But I don't know. Five really solid, possibly, cases there in directors. I'm looking at this list, and what are you going to say?
I'm going to say, like, I know we have a little bit of time between now and when we're going to make our annual Oscar picks, but I will call it right now, and I promise not to change it. Guarantee Cuarón wins for Best Director.
Oh yeah,
I don't matter who gets the awards from any guild or any other awards that come out, BAFTAs, whatever. Calling it right now, he's got that one locked up. It won't even be close.
You know, I have to agree, but yet at the same time, I wasn't as I wasn't as big a fan of Roma as I think you guys are, and
I'm not either. I'm just, the Academy loves Alfonso Cuarón, and
I just
can't see them. They're not going to give it to Spike Lee. They're not going to give it to Adam McKay after Vice.
And they're not
the only other person who's going to challenge him is Bradley Cooper, and they're not going to give it to a first time, you know, actor
director. Well, I think Cooper's
You mean like when Robert Redford won Best Director for
Robert Redford's a whole different. I love Bradley Cooper. I love Bradley Cooper, but
Bradley Cooper's been nominated. He's been nominated for four Oscars prior to this. He's probably going to get nominated for four Oscars with A Star Is Born. I mean, they may want to give a little love to him.
He's going
to
get a lot of love and buzz, and I think we're all on the same page that this might be the favorite going, at least at this point, into Best Picture is A Star Is Born. But I'm with you, with Tyler, on director, and I agree. And I think when I first watched it, I don't know if I said it on the podcast or before we recorded that one week it came out, Roma, this is not the best picture of the year. Roma is not the best picture of the year. And Cuarón's style is better suited for stuff like Gravity and Children of Men and things of that nature because of the way he pans and sets up such intensity with shots.
Mm-hmm.
But still, when you watch Roma, okay, the content of the movie to me does not say best picture. But when I watch that movie and I just see that signature style and the way he sets up scenes and the way he pans and just that slow pan that he does,
mm-hmm.
It is just fantastic. And it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to see. I agree. Cooper, I think, is the only one, at least at this point, of all the ones we're seeing from the guilds and the Hollywood Foreign Press and even the critics so far, to put up a fight. But I agree. I just don't see Cooper being able to beat Cuarón when exactly the Academy loves him. And now that Del Toro's gotten his, I feel like anytime you're going to see Cuarón, Del Toro, or Iñárritu nominated, like, you might as well just give him the award. Like, these are the guys that are, they're impacting cinema on the director's side more than anybody else is right now.
Well, I mean, you look at Cuarón just by himself, and like, he hasn't exactly been prolific. So he's made, as a director, what, 6 movies to the point. And obviously Roma will get nominated for some Academy Awards. He has yet to make a movie that didn't get nominated for at least one Academy Award.
What did Harry Potter get?
I was just going to say that.
Or Harry Potter got nominated for 2 Academy Awards. I don't know whether or not
makeup or special effects.
I mean, they could have been for any number of things, but every movie he's made has gotten to go to the Academy
Awards. Well, I'm just assuming Harry Potter was in the technical categories. That's all I'm assuming is somewhere in there. We all know that first one that came over in Spanish, Y tu mama, I can never say it anyways.
Well, before his very first one ever was, I remember I watched it as a kid, the little princess, not the girl whose dad gets injured.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
That got nominated for a couple Academy Awards.
They get nominated.
That's
what I felt. Those first two were for best, foreign language film, I feel like.
For E to Mama Tambien. No, that was, it got an Academy Award nomination for original screenplay. Didn't win, but got
was nominated. Okay. And then I know.
Harry Potter and Prisoner of Azkaban a couple times. Children of Men got nominated for 3 Academy Awards, including screenplay, editing, and cinematography. And then Gravity got nominated for 10. And then Roma will probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 10, I would assume.
5 to 10. You know, it's somewhere in that field. But anyways, I think I'm with you, Tyler. Caron's on that. But moving on real quick, Writers Guild, original screenplay, Caron again for Roma, McKay again for Vice, Bo Burnham for 8th Grade, Brian Woods, Scott Beck, and John Krasinski for A Quiet Place. And then this one confused me, but Peter Farrelly, Nick Vallelonga, and Brian Curry for Green Book in original screenplay. And on the adapted side, you get Coogler, Robert Cole for Black Panther, Barry Jenkins, If Bill Street Could Talk, Nicole Holofcener, and Josh Whitley for Can You Ever Forgive Me, Bradley Cooper, Eric Roth, Will Fetters for Star Is Born, Charlie Watchell, David
Rabinowitz.
I'm quitting life right now. Rabinowitz, Kevin Willmott, and Spike Lee for Black Klansman for adapted screenplay. Green Book, based on memoirs and notes, am I not right here? Like, Kevin, we had this conversation already. How's that under original screenplay?
Probably because the controversy. Published? The controversy on that is...
You're saying it's far enough away from kids' accounts that it's... wasn't what the kids recorded here, so this is obviously their own material.
Well, the story, from what I understand, is they were getting this information from the son of Viggo Mortensen's character, but the sons of Ali's character, they don't think that story is quite accurate.
Well, yeah, and we talked about it. I think right before we left for holiday, that Ali even went to the family and apologized.
Right.
And there was some controversy. And we think that we were saying how it was going to kind of impact it during award season. And then it turns around and wins 2 Golden Globes. But anyways, I knew it was based on accounts of the kids. And I knew, if I remember correctly, the musician's character, that character's kids were the ones who documented it, is my understanding. Because I thought this was based off of like some memoirs or a book. I could be completely mistaken. I need to look into it further, obviously, because I just threw these lists together right before we were recording. But interesting for sure. I think, I don't know, 8th Grade's getting a lot of love. Mm-hmm. I love seeing A Quiet Place in there. Hopefully we can see that in the Academy Awards for a screenplay.
I mean, that's interesting in terms of a screenplay. Because
screenplay, what is it? What?
It's like 12. It can't be more than 12 pages. I mean, the whole movie.
Yeah.
And like triple spaced in not more than 12 pages. Like, I mean, there's like hardly any dialogue.
Well, there's hardly dialogue, but you're still setting up scenes and setting up the
story and all that.
Yeah. It's a fantastic story. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love that movie. It just that. I figured this was going to be one of those situations like, what is the movie about the drummer that couldn't be nominated
Whiplash.
It couldn't be nominated for best score because there's too many drums in the music or whatever. And so like, I figured we were going to get a situation like that where there's some weird technicality, like, no, you only have 308 words. We can't.
Pages short.
Right? Yeah. It's gotta be 310 words. Sorry guys.
There we go. Anyways, all right. So that was with the writers. Bob, you got the list of Screen Actors Guild nominees pulled up, right?
Yeah, let me grab that really quick. So the cast did a motion picture, Star Is Born, and this is for, they kind of figure out who are the major players in the cast. You know, if you just had one line, you don't get an award. But cast is Star Is Born, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody and Crazy Rich Asians. In the female actor, Emily Blunt for Mary Poppins Return, Glenn Close for The Wife, Olivia Colman for The Favorite, Lady Gaga for Stars Born, and Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me. Male actor, Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper, Stars Born, Viggo Mortensen, Green Book, John David Washington, Black Klansman, and Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody. Female actor in a supporting role, Amy Adams for Vice, Emily Blunt for A Quiet Place, Margot Robbie for Mary Queen of Scots, Emma Stone for The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. And then you have the male supporting actor, Mahershala Ali, Green Book, Timothy Chalamet, Beautiful Boy, Adam Driver, Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for A Star is Born, Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? And then they also have a stunt ensemble for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Avengers Infinity War, Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Klansman, and Mission Impossible.
Tom Cruise gets yourself an award there.
Yeah, finally he gets an award. Could be.
Right. There you go. Awesome. So, of course, you can Google any of these, check them out. We won't spend too much more time on them because we will have an entire episode in the near future dedicated to us picking our choices for the Academy Awards. Bob and Tyler, I think it was the last few winners of that competition for
Bob
us.
Bob and Tyler, the only winners. Excuse
me. Look, I'm not
really, we're all winners, Bob.
Yeah, I'm not trying to.
I just enjoy playing the game.
I haven't had time.
Just getting a nomination is good.
I'm not saying that you guys aren't also winners. I'm just saying that Bob and I are more winners.
Right. I'm with Adam on this. If we're just nominated, we're still in the Academy. That's all I gotta say. Anyway, so of course you can check out
how many statues do you guys have though?
Yeah, really.
Anyways, you can check out all these guild nominees by hitting up Google. And again, we will have a full Oscars prediction episode. And of course, we'll spend a lot of time when the nominees are announced here in the upcoming weeks. Before we get into anything else movie-wise, which we do have a lot more to talk about, I do just want to point out that Adam was so excited that this next headline did not start with Florida Man. It's actually California Man was found. So... thankfully, we have the new doorbells with videos on them, Ring being the most popular, and I believe this was Ring, actually. And a family was out of town on vacation, and it was brought to their attention, obviously because it buzzes to your phone, that a man was licking their doorbell for 3 hours while they were gone. Later, the doorbell also catches him moving around the hoses in the front yard, not taking them, just moving them around, and quote-unquote relieving himself in the front bushes. And this is a complete stranger. Nobody on the street knew who he was. But because of the clarity of the Ring, they were able to identify him pretty quickly, mainly because he gave them 3 hours of video to study. And this is a really interesting thing. I think the best comment I've seen so far was a friend comment and they said, man, that's what acid will do to you. So I don't know what to say other than that. Then congratulations, Florida. This is actually California, man.
And the real bummer in that, Iggy, is the state I've lived the second longest in is California. It's like, damn it. Come on. Can't win for losing.
There you go.
Hey, all look right. On the bright side. I'm sure there's no embarrassing headlines that'll ever come out about Arkansas.
What?
I hate all of you.
With that note, we're out. No, just kidding. All right, so back to some more serious news, exciting. Aquaman came out, and I believe, Bob, you were giving us a little heads up on those opening weekend numbers. We were talking about how weak it was. I believe quoting you would say, thank goodness for China, because that was good. Now, Aquaman, and it is mostly China, but Aquaman worldwide is the number one grossing DC Universe movie. And has it passed 1 billion yet? It was getting close.
Nope. Not quite yet. Okay.
$940 million. Hello, Aquaman.
Wow.
Did any of you guys see that movie?
Yeah, I saw it twice.
It's fun.
You saw it twice?
Yeah, I was forced to go see it a second time.
Forced. He's so forced to go see all these movies.
Well, I mean, so like it's you know, if I had to peg them, it's Wonder Woman way up here.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman is significant step down,
but still two.
Right. Yeah. Then everything else is significant step down from it. Everything else is as far from Aquaman as Aquaman is from Wonder Woman in my estimation.
Wonder Woman is much like Marvel, and a number of the Marvel movies we're seeing are game changers in the way, whether it's a game changer at the level of Black Panther or even a game changer in the level of the first Avengers bringing together an ensemble cast and making it work. You know, they're doing something that so many people have said you can't make the comic book work on screen. And the best example is this past year with the snap from Thanos. Wonder Woman was in that league. It was a game changer. Patty Jenkins, female director, female star, set it up. Aquaman is just, let's go back 15, 20 years and have good, fun action with the superhero movie. And that's what Aquaman gave us, I feel.
Yeah. The one thing I have to say about Aquaman, it is an absolutely gorgeous looking movie. I mean, visually, it is.
Yeah, I saw an IMAX 3D, and it was.
Yeah, the 3D did nothing for me, but yeah, IMAX was amazing. But everybody's saying, "Oh, it's the biggest DC movie ever." Well, you know, it's not really saying that much, except for Wonder Woman. I mean, everything else, it beat about $300 million earlier. You know,
it's the biggest DC universe DCU movie ever. It still hasn't caught The Dark Knight or The Dark Knight Rises.
I had thought that it did beat Dark Knight Rises.
It's only beaten Batman Begins. Dark Knight Rises made $1.084 billion.
Oh, okay.
And The Dark Knight made $1.004 billion. So it's going to probably catch The Dark Knight. It may or may not catch The Dark Knight Rises.
Either way, $1 billion, $940 million. Like, goodness gracious. We're definitely going to get more Aquaman. That's all I can say. Warner Brothers is going to give us more Aquaman.
Movies make a lot of money now. That's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
I just wish so.
Transformers: Dark of the Moon made $1.123 billion.
I am depressed now. Wow, I am depressed.
And that's not even top like 20 movies all time.
You know, speaking of DC, I did read an article just a little while ago this evening that the DC subscription channel, it's having a hard time getting subscribers.
Well, it's because you only put one series out.
You put one series out, and that series is not what anybody wanted.
Now, Titans is getting a lot of praise now that the season has wrapped, and we're already getting early reviews of the upcoming Young Justice season, which people are saying picks right up where it left off. Be excited.
Young Justice coming out might actually get people to subscribe to it specifically, because that show getting canceled and disappearing upset a lot of people. But as soon as that season ends, I think those subscriptions go right away.
So I just basically got to say, you got to give good news DC, bad news DC.
So sticking with superhero movies real quick, this week we got a special feature and a special look at Captain Marvel. A little bit more of what's going on. If you haven't checked it out, head on over to projectnerd.com and give those a look. A little more insight, and you get your... You get a good look at young Agent Coulson. So he makes an appearance in this one. Moving on, speaking of big numbers, Netflix has been boasting, usually very quiet about how many people watch their things, has just been bragging about their Bird Box numbers. I specifically did the Bird Box review for Project Nerd. It was a good movie. I didn't think it was great. I felt like the whole premise is kind of weak, and they had some weak ideas to help move the plot along, but the acting was really strong.
Yeah. That first 15 minutes was mind blowing.
And anytime you get John Malkovich, even in half of a movie, I mean, you already are plus. That's already a positive. Mm-hmm. So you get that. And I think just adding the element of Sandra Bullock just did really good. She just did really good in just making it so intense with those kids. And I think part of maybe why I liked it a little more than I thought I would is that when it was coming out, I was expecting just, oh, this is a quiet place just with not seeing instead of not speaking, right? Like you can't, but they did a great job of telling it at two different points in the timeline parallel at the same, all through the movie. And I really liked that too, because you never just got left with Sandra Bullock and the two kids the whole time. You kept going back to the group that included John Malkovich. So...
I've got two things for your John Malkovich comment. First of all, is Malkovich, 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 Malkovich. And second of all is I generally speaking agree with your comment about if you get John Malkovich, that's a good thing. And I raise you, I want to say it's Aragorn. Is that dragon movie?
Oh my God. He hands it up so
It's not good. It is not good.
And he doesn't help it either. For one of my jobs I used to work at when I worked at Sears selling TVs, it was one of the movies that we had playing on one of the TVs. So we saw it a lot of times. And like lines from that movie used to become like running jokes with us that work there because he only has like maybe three scenes in the entire movie because he's like the villain, but he doesn't actually he's like on a throne somewhere directing others, but he has these lines and you can tell he's like, he showed up for the paycheck, but just like, he just chews it up. Like, but the go-to line, like I will always remember that movie and John Malkovich only for this one line he delivers and just the way he delivers it. Why must you prolong my suffering? And we used to like say that all the time to each other at work when like, when things were going poorly, like why must you prolong my suffering? If you ever get a chance, it is a real bad movie based on some middling like YA fantasy books, and Jeremy Irons is in it, and there's some other people in it, but
just to see
Malkovich just chew up scenery as a terrible villain is worth one watch.
See, right? Though, he said it was worth seeing that movie because of Malkovich. you just said those words.
That is not what I said.
You said watching Malkovich chew up scenes is worth one watch. That is saying it's
worth. Yeah, but it was like it was very clearly meant as a like it's worth like a hate watch. Like
anyways.
Worth a watch like The Room.
It's a drunk watch.
Okay. So Netflix said 45 million accounts watched at least 70% of Bird Box in the first 10 days. Nielsen Ratings came out and said, well, 26 million people have watched the film, which is still ridiculous. Like still a lot of people. And it was some good arguments and stuff like that, but it was the biggest thing it brought up, which was a great argument. So Bird Box is a female directed movie and obviously stars the leading character is a woman. So the director was making a lot of cases about it is that there's been multiple movies released specifically by Netflix this year that have had women directors. And if they would share, if numbers are like this and they could share that, how much better could that be for these women to continue on and find other jobs for other studios too? So some good points and a lot of arguments being made there, but the numbers, a lot of skepticism on it, but Nielsen's come out and said some big numbers too. So I don't know.
I'm pretty skeptical of 45 million when there's only 10 active Netflix accounts in the United States. You know, everybody's sharing those codes.
Exactly. My password. Yeah. I don't know how many people have my password. I'm not saying that on air. This is Adam talking right now. I don't know.
Jokes on you. There aren't that many people in Arkansas.
I think there's so much around it that it's become the center of attention. And I think that probably helped more viewings afterwards because Nielsen didn't do their review, their viewing rating till just here this after the new year or right around the new year. So it was not saying with first 10 days. Yeah, very different numbers considering you're saying twice that many in first 10 days when the person we've relied on. And not saying you should always rely on the same big corporation. I mean, we've learned not to do that over time, but just saying that they did not have the same numbers. So
now, did anyone do the Bird Box challenge?
What is the Bird Box challenge?
Oh, you haven't seen that where people are blindfolding themselves and doing normal daily activities blindfolded?
Yeah, Netflix went as far as to like tweet at people to be like, hey, please stop doing this. It's dangerous. Yeah.
I've seen the memes, and the memes are wonderful. Like memes from the Chicago Bears kicker with Sandra Bullock's blindfold on, like kicking the kick at the end of the game to anytime you're walking down the mall and the guy's like, let me show you how this can straighten your hair. He's like, don't make eye contact and pushing the kids along. Like, there's some great, great memes from Bird Box. It has definitely delivered there. But I did not. I think I heard somebody mention the Bird Box challenge, but I actually hadn't seen it. I don't know if it's still a big enough deal. We could do the Bird Box challenge when we do get together for Planet Comic Con. We just take turns walking the con. No, Adam's not down for that. Adam, you're running the booth. You don't have to walk anywhere. Like, you could totally win this if we made it a competition.
We're 100% not doing this.
Okay. Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler. Anyways, I don't know. So let us know if you did see Bird Box, your comments below. The first comment on my review was, this movie sucked, by some person. But thanks for chiming in. We're glad that you're checking out our site and reading our reviews. So we do appreciate your feedback. Next on the list, I did not add this, but I do remember this. This was just announced here on Tuesday this week, so the day we are recording. Dune, the new Dune movie that's coming out. Dave Bautista, the newest announcement for the cast. You guys, Tyler, Adam, you both look excited.
So, I 100% am the one who added this because I'm real fucking excited about it.
That's what I'm saying. Say so.
I'm just excited about any news that leaks out about Dune. So
Harkonnen, Atreides?
He's going to be Beast Raban.
No. Oh, okay. I'm okay with that.
So he's for those of you who aren't familiar, there's the warring houses and the bad house, basically. The evil guy is Harkonnen. The boss is Baron Harkonnen. His nephew, Beast Raban, who is the guy who's in charge of Dune when the Atreides show up. So it'll be really good. He's a real bad guy. Anyway, I'm super excited about this movie. Like, the more that comes out, the more now it sounds like they may split the first book into two movies. But this is our third big casting. So we know that Timothy Chalamet is going to be Paul. We know that Rebecca Ferguson is going to be Jessica. We now know that Dave Bautista is going to be Beast Raban. So,
and
the
more I see Chalamet, the more I'm impressed. Like, the more I'm ready to see him in a lot more stuff too.
Yeah, I just want to know who Kyle MacLachlan's going to be.
I would say God, who should they put him in as? I don't know if you don't want to make him too big of a character. Do you make him a small character?
Adam wants to make him a big character.
Oh, God.
Let Kyle MacLachlan do whatever he wants to do. You just get him in the damn movie.
Then I would say make him Peter DeVries.
I'd be okay with that.
Put him on the bad side.
Yeah,
Don't make him.
Because House Atreides.
Because for a second I was like, do you make him like Gurney Halleck or do you make him Stilgar or something? But I was like, that's a little too on the nose. Like, put him in the bad side. Make him. Or you know what?
Just let him be a Freeman.
No. He's not in the entire movie. He only shows up at the end because he's the Padishah Emperor.
I'd be okay with that too. Yeah.
He's the Emperor that gets deposed by Paul.
Dune fans, chime in. Who should he play? What are your thoughts on the casting announcement?
Oh, he has to play the Emperor now.
Tyler. Okay. Specifically Bautista's edition. In addition, there was, of course, some other big movie news. Star Trek, the fourth one of the new Star Treks, shelved indefinitely while the director is focusing on Game of Thrones. So that was interesting. You check that out over Project Nerd.
That shelved because the director's focusing on Game of Thrones, or is it shelved because the two main stars of it have kind of said, fuck off, we don't want to do this anymore?
Not only that, because I think, what are we already on? Script rewrites, we've already delayed starting shooting. Like, there's not been really any good news that has come out.
It's been like 6 months since both Chris Pine and Hemsworth have been didn't sign their contract.
Well, Chris Pine's been busy being a spirit in Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, but that movie doesn't come out for three more years
but
now.
But they're still doing reshoots. They're still obviously a year's worth of reshoots because they had to push it back.
This wasn't him being busy. This was straight him being just, you need to pay me this much. And I said,
sorry, Tyler. I know you don't think I'm funny, but I was just trying to be funny there. Anyways, movie news that I'm excited about. Jean-Claude Van Damme is back. Back in full extent. So we had him for Jean-Claude Van Johnson, which the pilot was phenomenal. I'll be honest, I didn't even finish that first season once. It was not that good. And it got canned pretty quickly. But this is like not making fun of him being older and doing it. This is him just being a badass action star again in The Bouncer. It premiered at Fantastic Fest here in the States. A lot of people are excited for it. And some critics, early reviews on it are like, this is a lot of action for a guy this age, and he's pulling it off. So I'm not surprised. I mean, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, I feel like him and Chuck Norris are going to be fighting until, you know, they're hundreds years old. But I don't know. Are you guys excited for this as I am? Maybe not as excited as I am, but are you excited?
Nah.
I was never a Jean-Claude fan, whatever, if I'm being honest.
Whatever, all of you.
Yeah, never.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
I didn't watch the first season.
Sudden Death? Double Impact? No? No.
I watched Sudden Death. I didn't like it, but...
Is that the one that takes place at the Penguins game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's not a good movie. It's so bad. It's so bad. No, really, Kickboxer, Bloodsport, and one of my favorites.
Cyborg.
Time Cop.
Oh, Time Cop is fun.
Cyborg's good too, but Time Cop. I mean, yeah.
Time Cop.
You just like the split scene, don't you?
Bloodsport, and Street Fighter. That's really pretty.
Oh, Street Fighter. But Street Fighter, you also get Kylie Minogue as
Street Fighter was one of the movies playing at Up Down the other night.
Raul Julia.
Enjoying it.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh, Street Fighter. That's what you. That want. Is on my shelf. I have no problem admitting Street Fighter is on my shelf. So, yeah, I don't know. You guys were ready. Tyler, at least, was ready to name those Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. So,
I mean, after Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Time Cop, Street Fighter, you have exhausted pretty much all the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Double
Impact's terrible with Dennis
Rodman. I'm not saying you've exhausted the ones I know about. I'm saying you've exhausted the ones I've actually bothered to watch.
JCVD is so good.
I know for a fact that is impossible.
No, it's not. Anyways, we're going to have... I'm bringing them when I come to Kansas City because I'm coming for like a whole week before Planet Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, we're going to watch them. I'm bringing them. I'm bringing.
They'll be on the TV. He'll be playing Diablo. So
no, I'm bringing them.
Listen. I live in Kansas City. I don't have to hang out with you guys. I can just go home.
No, I'm going to your place that week before to watch them. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to be at your place watching them, and your computer is going to mysteriously not be able to turn on.
Is anyone going to pay for Iggy's hotel room after he gets kicked out of my apartment?
Right. So let's start a GoFundMe now. But other random movie news this week too, which this one I was also thought was fun, was there actually was a Space Jam sequel already in the works back in 2004 called Skate Jam. Tony Hawk was going to do a skating competition with the Looney Tunes, but Looney Tunes Back in Action bombed so bad that got shelved permanently, and we never got it. But Tony Hawk skateboarding with the Looney Tunes?
They should still make that movie with Tony Hawk. Right? I would watch that movie.
It's still doable right now.
Have you seen his Twitter feed, apparently? Like, so
where people don't recognize him as Tony Hawk?
Hey, you got that? Is that your skateboard? Are you any good on that thing? He's like,
you look kind of like that Tony Hawk guy. Has anybody ever told you that? They could work that into the movie. The Looney Tunes could make those jokes. I mean, we've got material already. Let's get Skate Jam. Let's get a petition going to get Skate Jam back in action.
Be my guest.
There you go.
You can't use the back in action because I've got it.
I know. That's why we're taking it back. We're taking it back. We're taking it back like Randall and Clerks too. Anyways, so it's... hashtag Skate Jam, hashtag Skate Jam revival. We're bringing it back. Adam and I are leading this charge here. So, all right. Last bit of just random kind of quick tidbit news. CW crossover happened with Batwoman. It was huge. We talked about it when it first got announced. Batwoman came into play. People went bonkers for it. Ratings shot up as they typically do with the crossovers anyways. But enough so that a pilot episode has been greenlit. The English today. Wow. I don't know. I'm catering to our European audience. I'm probably closer to speaking German and French, which we're getting a lot of those people are, than I am English in this episode.
No. Anyways.
Negative.
No, you're not.
Would you guys just be quiet for a second and let me say that Batwoman...
We tried to let you say it. You apparently are incapable of doing so.
Yeah.
Anyways, Batwoman will have a pilot, and probably a full season. I'm sure it'll get a full season. I don't think any of us watched the crossover, though.
Black Lightning's still on, so I feel like if the Black Lightning can keep going, Batwoman's going to... It's going to be their next Supernatural. It'll be on for 20 more years.
20 years. Cloak and Dagger is on, Freeform or whatever the made-up network is that they pretend. Nobody knows what Freeform really is. They're like, oh, Cloak and Dagger, season 2? Where's it on? Oh, Freeform? Oh, I don't know what that. I'll never see it. So they just pretend. Oh yeah, we've got that other Marvel show. You haven't heard that? You haven't seen that one? Anyways, yeah, I think Batwoman will be interesting. I'm sure it'll get enough for at least one season, but it'll probably run parallel with the others, and they'll do the multiple crossovers every winter.
And then
at some point in time, you're going to have to basically just watch CW 24/7 to be able to know what's going on with their with their DC TV shows.
Yeah. So it is. It is because they. I think they normally air like four nights a week. Like it's Monday through Thursday. You get the one of the four that they have right now. And then usually in January or December, right before the mid-season break, you have to watch all four of them for like a 2-week span for the arc, whatever happens. And I know I haven't watched really any of them outside of The Flash because my son watches The Flash. So when the last season of Flash hit this past summer on Netflix and we're watching it, and next thing I know, somebody's getting married at the end of the episode that I didn't even know was the case. Like, so the Arrow people were getting married on the Flash episode, although I'd never seen any of the crossover stuff. And I was like, okay, cool.
What yeah, I don't remember the last time I actually sat and watched an entire episode of one of the CW ones, but I had some friends who were really into them. And every now and then a crossover happens, like, hey, you really got to get into this. And then I try to look into it and realize, oh, no, I have to – it's like a comic book crossover. You have to keep up on, like, five different series to have a clue what's going on. Like, apparently this one they didn't bother to loop Legends of Tomorrow in there. But the last one, like, the last one they did, not the Elseworlds, but what was the other one they did? I think Infinite Crisis – there was an episode. There was two episodes on Legends Tomorrow, two episodes of Supergirl, two episodes of Flash, two episodes of Arrow, that you had to watch to like get the whole arc. And I'm like, I ain't got that kind of time. And I don't. Also, listen. Let's talk about exciting things. Like the day before this airs, both The Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine will be back on television.
Nine-Nine. yeah, for sure. And to plug that, you can definitely check out our new podcast, Now Streaming, that has that information available to you. You head on over to projectnerd.com, check out Now Streaming. You can get in video form, audio form, or you can just read the post to see the full list of what's coming to all those major streaming platforms in January. We'll have another episode, of course, before February for what comes in February, but we're giving it to you in all ways possible. And as well as I'm Not Famous return this week, with Lonnie Valdez, Denver's own The Fans Addiction wrestling sensation. So a lot of podcasts happening over here. So thanks for that segue, Tyler.
I'm just saying, like, it's been a while since NBC's Thursday Night lineup has gotten, like, the Thursday Night lineup's getting back to resembling something like it used to. That's exciting.
All right,
fine. Be that way.
I got all excited about 9-9 as well. And I was defending The Good Place, not winning a Golden Globe just a little bit ago. So thank you very much, Tyler. I feel like he's just picking fights tonight. Anyways, we're getting low on time. A lot of exciting things happening. Double checking the website. As I mentioned, new podcasts, we're back. We've got new podcasts coming at the end of this month, including the brand new Meeple Skills. We have Modern Sex returning with the new host, Baroness Von T, cosplay and makeup extraordinaire. She's going to have some great guests over there. I will be joining the first episode to introduce her. And then Redalt, who's just been killing it with some amazing guests. Each week has a brand new guest. And I say each week, even though they're supposed to only air every other week, we've had like four straight weeks of Redalt, guys. This is fantastic. So if you want podcasts, you come over to Project Nerd, you check them out because we are throwing them in your face and they're good. They're good. I'm going to say it. They're good.
Do we throw them in their ears since they're podcasts?
Well, your ears are kind of part of your...
Hey, Iggy, are they good?
Head. Nope. They're part of your head. There head. You go.
Anyways, they're good. Your ears are part of your head. So we're throwing them at your head.
Do they speak English on the other ones?
Yes. Redalt speaks a little Australian. So you get the English with the accent. I'm Not Famous is also my vocals, so might be some questionable English. But I'm assuming Meeple Skills is going to be in English. We'll see. You can find that out next week. Anyways, of course, too, I did drop my top 10 movies of 2018, which I already disagree with because I don't think it's right. Top 10 TV seasons of 2018. That is happening. You guys haven't seen it yet because it happens tomorrow, but it'll be live by the time this airs. And then just here in a couple weeks, my 20 most anticipated movies of 2019, because there's so many movies coming, I couldn't just do 10. And of course, our continuation of our Breaking Down BoJack series, which the first article was very well received. If you have any thoughts about BoJack covering mental health, great article. I felt weird saying it because I wrote the article, but go check it out. Go check it out. Anyways, a lot of original content on Project Nerd right now. This is what we're all about. This is what we said 2019 was going to be about. And we are kicking ass already in early January. Great job, guys. Great job. I don't want to say great job to me anymore because I kind of did brag about my own stuff already. It was super okay. Weird.
All you have to do is when you do something like that, Iggy, you immediately go toot toot and you're good to go. Okay. Everybody knows what that means.
All right.
You can just move on. We don't have to talk about it.
That horn. Okay. Let's wrap us up here with some final thoughts. Bob, why don't you get us started?
Okay. Hey, was it about a week from when this comes out? The new M. Night Shyamalan movie comes out, Glass. This weekend, if you are near an Alamo Draft House, they are running the Shyamalamathon, which is the three films, Unbreakable, Split, and they are showing Glass 6 days early. And the cost for the tickets are nothing. The only thing you have to do is you have to buy a $10 gift card for food, and you can sit there for 9 hours and watch M. Night Shyamalan goodness the entire day.
9 hours, you're going to need that $10 gift card for food anyways, so you might as well get it.
So you might as well get it, definitely. And refills are free on your drink, so hey. But anyways, that's at the Alamo Draft Houses all around the country only, but do try to get your tickets as quick as possible because I know Kansas City is sold out and Denver does have a few seats left.
Thank you.
What I've seen.
I will check that out here in a second. All right, Tyler, what you got for us?
It's a new year. So some new books I read, Robert Jackson Bennett, who's probably best known for the Divine City series. So like City of Stairs, but a lot of good books out there. So you should listen to them. Also, if you haven't already, last night, as of this airing, Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place came back. If you didn't listen to us earlier, you should watch
Nine-Nine. Nine-Nine,
indeed.
All right. Tyler, where's your top 10 books of the year since you like doing book lists so much? Could have used another.
God, that's really hard. I don't know. I have to sit down and think about that for a second.
I know, but you got a Wednesday open. We got a Wednesday open. We got a Wednesday open in January. All right, Adam, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I also have been reading a lot, but I've been rereading stuff. So I reread the Hunger Games trilogy. It's really fun, you guys. That is enjoyable read.
Killing Children is great, yeah.
Wow, that was not on our podcast. That was just a book on the podcast.
Since you're such a stickler for facts, Bob, none of that actually happened. It's totally fiction.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's really good. And also, was talking with a friend of mine about Artemis. I haven't read that, so it's Andy Weir's second book. I haven't read that one yet. I need to.
It's good.
I want to do it.
It's no The Martian, but it's pretty solid.
Yeah, so I'm
Tyler.
Rereading The Martian, which I will finish in 2 days probably. But that made me think about, so I read the little blurb for Artemis, and it made me think about The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. And I'm reread that, which is a fantastic book. We've got a review on the website for it as well, so you can check out. If you aren't familiar with The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, go to Project Nerd, search Moon is a Harsh Mistress, and it pops right up.
Look at that plug. I love it. I love it. If we're going to talk about reading, I'm currently reading the Beastie Boys book. It is fantastic. What are you laughing at? First of all, this is, I read a number, I probably read more books in 2018 than I have in any other year. Number so
like,
of them.
Like three?
So five?
No. No.
Six?
Anyways, I was reading a number of books, and I am on to the Beastie Boys book. I got it around the holiday time for the traveling, and already about, I mean, it's thick as hell. I'm already halfway through it. It's just a bunch of short, like, memory stories collected, and early on, you get some third-party thoughts about the music at the time, New York at the time, you know, all that stuff, and it is fun. It is just fun listening to Adam and Mike D., recount their time with the Beastie Boys, and super sad because they reference it multiple times about Yauch not being there anymore and how this book should have been all three of them. But they did some cool, if you go back to, I want to say it's around October or so, go back onto YouTube and check out like Jimmy Fallon and all that stuff, to where some of the promo, and they tell some of the stories. And Fallon, being the fanboy he is, was like already had read the book by the time they came on to promote it before it was even released, freaking out about it. So he encouraged them to tell more stories. So a lot of fun stuff that actually made me like, oh yeah, I definitely got to pick this up.
They did a really good interview on Mark Maron's podcast, WTF.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So great stuff. It's fun. I love them anyways. The Beastie Boys are great. And hearing some of the stories, you know, it's just crazy, because you have to remember, these guys were rapping, literally signed with Def Jam at the age of like 19 and 20. And then, all joking aside, they were referencing how they were grandfathers rapping here as recent as like in the last decade. So it is definitely a long spanning career of some awesome and fun musical artists, I guess would be a way to put it. But anyways, I don't know. So there, reading. And I reread Lamb right before that, because I do love Lamb. That's a fun one. Let's wrap this up, guys. Let's wrap this up. It was a fun episode. I had a good time, especially when I was speaking English. Tyler spoke a little gibberish too. You know, getting on that same wavelength. I can't even, never mind. I'm done. So much for that close. Anyways,
Wrap it up.
We're back next time for one. Actually, next time will be 180. We're going to have a fun panel for you with Kevin Conroy and John DiMaggio. And the four of us will be back for episode 181 in 2 weeks. So with that, I bid you adieu. Till next time on the Nerdcast.